I want to greet everyone, even our online congregation this morning. Thank you for joining us, and I pray that God will bless you today. I want to start off this morning by telling you a story. It's a story about the frog and the fortune teller. It said there was this frog who told the fortune teller, he went to the fortune teller, he says, because he wanted to know his destiny, tell me what I can expect in my life. I just want to know. The fortune teller did her hocus pocus and looked at the frog and said, there's going to be a very beautiful woman, and she's excited about meeting you. In fact, she is fascinated about meeting you. And when you get to meet her, she is going to want to know everything about you. Oh, the frog was so excited. He said, oh boy, I can't wait. When can I meet this beautiful woman? The fortune teller looked at the frog and said, you can meet her next semester in biology class. So the frog was thinking that he was going to have some other way of life. And to some degree, we think about our life to some degree, how it should be different. This morning, I don't want to talk with you about success. I don't want to talk to you about developing your creative power, because there's enough self-help books on those subjects. What's on my heart this morning is very important. How many of you know that this world is not your final destination? So today, I want us to consider our destiny. In fact, if I can entitle this message, I would entitle it with a question: what's your destiny? And I'm going to use this morning the scripture Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. If you would you mind standing and we can read it together, please? It's going to be up here on the screen. I'm going to read from my book, but I want you to read it out loud. We're going to read it out loud together. 1, 2, 3, read. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us, there is a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also not come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if anyone from the dead comes to them, they will repent. And he said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would stir a heart, that you would save somebody, that you bring healing and deliverance to a soul today, Jesus. We ask, God, that you would move on us and draw us closer to your kingdom, and you would speak to our hearts. And we thank you this morning that you have spoken a word to me. I pray, God, that you would speak to your people. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The author of this book, Luke, he's a physician, but he's also the author of the book of Acts. And he is a Gentile. The one thing that Luke is trying to do when he writes this passage, he's trying to help us see the heart of Jesus. So what's going on in these verses? There's a conversation Jesus is having with a group of religious leaders. He's talking to them about their love for money. He didn't say to them that they couldn't have money, but he's concerned about their obsession with money, how they love it. And so Jesus is saying to them, look, it's your heart that I'm concerned about. It's how you're thinking about all of this. But the Pharisees' attitude is they scoff at Jesus. They kind of roll their eyes like, I ain't trying to hear this. Don't even talk to me about this. So Jesus goes on to tell them this story that's in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. That's what the story is about. So as I studied this passage, I read various schools of thought. One school of thought said it's a parable. Another school of thought said it's a true story. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not my concern. What we do know in Luke chapter 16, that a parable, whether true or whether it's a parable or a true story, we have the master teacher, Jesus, contrasting the lives of two men. And in this story, there are three great issues that come up that all of us is going to have to face one day. And those issues are life, death, and eternity. It says, the story says that one man was rich and one man was poor. The rich man had an abundance. His life was filled with riches. His closet was filled with clothes. He had clothes, shoes. He had so many clothes that he dressed in purple linen every day. He showed his clothes off. You see, purple was an expensive color during that time. So he dressed in purple because he wanted everybody to see how rich he was. He lived in a gated community. You couldn't ride up in his house without being invited. Every day, the rich man's table was filled with a banquet, filled with food. He had so much food, it was just covered with food every day. Every day he had a banquet. He had five brothers, so he invited people over so they could eat with him and see all his wealth. The rich man lived in luxury and he wanted for nothing. He wanted for nothing. The funny thing is that Jesus calls him, his name to Jesus is the rich man. He calls him by his earthly possessions. He's known by his stuff. Now we have Lazarus. We have his life. And his life is filled with inequities. He's a poor man. He laid at the gate of the rich man's house every day, longing, if I could just eat his scraps from the table. I just want something from his table. Just give me something from your table. But the rich man preferred to throw the scraps out or give it to the dog than to have Lazarus to eat it. And sometimes we can put more value on pets than we can on human life. I know I ain't gonna get no amen. Amen. You see, Lazarus had health problems. He couldn't work. He didn't have any money to go to a doctor. He didn't have anybody to care for him. He had sores all over his legs. In fact, his sores were so gross, even the dogs would come and lick them. And that wasn't a nice thing. You know, some people like dogs licking them. That wasn't a nice thing for Lazarus because he was in pain. And for the dogs to come and lick him, it was just gross and just more, even more painful. Day in and day out, Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate every day. He was hungry, he was sick, and he was homeless. He had a miserable existence. However, one thing he had that the rich man didn't have. Jesus gives him a name. He calls him Lazarus, which means God will help. Jesus gives him a name. He calls him Lazarus. God will help. You see, when you read this story, Jesus has now given us a clear picture of both of these men and how they lived. And how we live would determine our eternity. Now let's look at the contrast of their death. The Bible tells us that both of them died. It says, the rich man dies, and no doubt he probably had a large funeral. The scripture doesn't say that because you read it. The scripture doesn't say he had a large funeral, but we're going to say that the rich man had a large funeral because he was rich. He probably had an elaborate obituary, which stated how wonderful he was, how much he owned, and how many organizations and clubs he belonged to. His obituary probably painted a glorious picture of his life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever attended the funeral of someone, and as the obituary is being read, how wonderful that person was, and in your mind, you're trying to figure out, who in the world are they talking about? And you ask yourself, am I at the wrong funeral? Because that ain't how you know them. You know, it doesn't matter what's on paper. We serve a God that knows our heart, and he knows the life we've lived. You see, the rich man, he died and he was buried. And the scripture says that Lazarus died. And the angels came and carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham is used in this story because everyone knew how much God loved Abraham. To be with Abraham was a good place for Lazarus. Lazarus is now receiving good things. You see, the rich man, he died, and in hell, he opened his eyes and was in torment. Would you play that clip, please? Thank you. Then the scripture says that he looked up and saw Abraham afar away with Lazarus by his side. In this story, Jesus does something very unique. Jesus gives us an opportunity to think about eternity in a real way. He pulls back the death curtain and allows us to see on the other side. Jesus teaches that heaven and hell are both real and literal places. So many people, sadly, a lot of people don't believe and they're uncomfortable with the topic of hell. And some ministers even teach there is no such thing as hell. They teach universalism and that belief that everybody's going to heaven. They teach that. I'm going to tell you something. God loves us, but everybody's not going to heaven. From this teaching, Jesus tells us that there is life after death. And one thing what we all know, regardless of who we are, death is an equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're poor, rich, what color you are, how pretty your clothes are. It doesn't matter what type of car you drive. It doesn't matter what type of occupation you have. We're gonna die. And when that happens, there is no more chances. There are no more chances to repent. No, repentance is over. There's no more chances to forgive. No, forgiveness is gone. And there's no more chances to pray. Your praying time is ended. The transition to our eternal state takes place the very moment we die. And when we leave this natural world, I'm going to tell you right now, our souls will land somewhere. Our souls will be in existence somewhere. And it's not God's plan for us to end up in hell. That's not his plan. God doesn't want any person to go to hell. But the life we live will determine our destiny. Amen. Lazarus went to Abraham's side. To be with Abraham was an incredible honor because he was a revered Jewish leader. And what we see is a change. The poor man experienced such misery while here on earth, but in Abraham's bosom, there is no sickness, there is no poverty, there is no hunger, and there is no homelessness. Every day is a blessed day for Lazarus. Lazarus didn't attend a funeral. Instead, he went to a feast. The rich man's allegiance was to his money, showing everybody just how wealthy he was. Yet, the person that needed his help, he stepped over every day at his gate. And you should understand something. Lazarus was not a stranger. It wasn't that the rich man didn't know him. He knew his name. But he just wouldn't help him. And that was the attitude that Jesus was talking about with the Pharisees. He was trying to get them to see, you are just hypocrites. Because all you're doing is talking about your money and charging the people and oppressing them. And he was addressing their behaviors with this story. The Pharisees that believed that being rich was a sign of being spiritual. They believed that because they were rich, they had favor with God. And it was because they felt like they were righteous, that God was rewarding them for being righteous. Now, you know what type of righteousness they had. Doesn't that sound like the prosperity gospel? Things that I shouldn't call it prosperity gospel. I should call it prosperity gospel, garbage. Doesn't that sound like that? Teaching people that you got to give in order to be blessed. Give money to me. Let me move on. They believe that individuals that were poor were cursed. And that's why Jesus was having this conversation with them. Because of their attitude about money was a direct contradiction to God. Because they were using their wealth, once again, to oppress people and to live a self-righteous life. Money and wealth are not sinful. They're neutral. But it's the greed of man that God is talking about. The greed and the love for money which leads people to believe that they'll never have enough. And I want to tell you this morning, if you don't have money, you're not cursed. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The rich man used his money as a way to judge Lazarus. And we do that. They ain't got nothing. I don't see what's wrong with them. They need to... That's why Lazarus' life was of no value to him. Instead of providing for him, he looked at him every day and continued to oppress him. In the eyes of the rich man, Lazarus was nothing. That's why he thought Lazarus should come to hell and bring him a glass of water. He thought that he was still in a place where his wealth gave him the influence to tell people what to do. His money could no longer dictate his position. In life, all the things we get, nice house, money, land, beautiful clothes, and sometimes the more people get, you know, the more stuff that people get, the meaner they think they can be, treat people. They think they can treat people unkind because they've made it. They have it. But that's not true. Things and possession is never a measure of success for Jesus. The Bible says that God looks at the heart. So I want to tell you this morning, don't be fooled. The Bible says that all of our ways are known by the Lord. A person can achieve many medals. They can have many accolades. They can be very popular. They can know all the prestigious people in the world. And I'm very happy for their success, but I want to tell you that will not keep them out of hell. And many times we look at homeless people or a homeless person and we see no value. And that homeless person, their life is just as valuable as my life and your life. Because that person belongs to someone. That's somebody's son, that's somebody's daughter, it could be somebody's mother or father. And I want to know, sometimes we may not know how to help them, but it doesn't mean that they're less valuable. So I ask you this morning, how are we living? Who are we when nobody's looking? Does our life reflect that we are living for Jesus? The rich man had all the possessions the world could offer him. The rich man's life was preaching a message. And the message the rich man's life was preaching sent him to hell. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Ask yourself this morning, what message is my life preaching? What am I telling people with my life? What we say, what we do, and how we treat people, it matters. See, people can look at our lives, they can be living a certain way, and they can look at our lives and fall under conviction. Or they can look at our lives and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with them, because they ain't doing any better than I'm doing. Not because of wealth, but because of the way, the things that they're participating in. What message are we preaching? Will our life reflect the gospel for people to see it? That should be our cry. God, help my life to be an example of you, of your word. I want to tell you this story about this young man. He was a gay pride leader, and his name was Robert Lagerson. and he had been in a homosexual life for decades. But he wasn't feeling well, and he went to the doctor, and of course he got a diagnosis. The doctor said that you have AIDS and you are dying. He is gripped with fear because he says, I'm not ready to die. I don't know, I'm afraid to die. So he goes back to his homosexual friends and he tells them, he says, look, I'm afraid to die. And he asks them, do you know anyone? Can you help me? Can you know anyone that can help me face death? And guess what his friend says? He says, they sent him to church. They sent him to church. So he goes to this church, and the pastor is in the midst of reading a Bible verse, a scripture, Psalms 107. And in that him reading, hearing those words, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him and convicts him in hearing the word of God. At the end of service, he goes to the pastor and says, I want to repent. He says, I couldn't wait for you to sit down. I want to repent. I want my life turned around. I want to become a Christian. You see, he was thinking about his destiny. He was thinking about, where am I going to spend eternity? I want to tell you this morning that the gospel message is a powerful message. It's a message that can keep people out of hell. It's the gospel message that can move people to conviction. It's the gospel message that can bring transformation in a person's life. So what's that message? Jesus was born of a virgin. He was baptized in the Jordan. He performed miracles. The lame could walk and the blind could see. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was crucified on a cross. Died on Friday. He was put in a tomb, and the devil thought he had him. He thought it was over, that Jesus is dead. But on that third day, Sunday morning, the disciples went to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. The grave was empty. The sign on the door says, there he is not here. He is risen. Jesus is alive. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive and well. And one day he's going to crack that eastern sky. And he's going to call his church home. That's you and I. He's going to call us home. And that's the gospel message. And I'm not ashamed of what the gospel, because it's power unto salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that will keep us out of hell. Amen? But in the meantime, we got a job to do while we're here on this earth. And that's to bring hope and help to people. People that are helpless and are broken. People that are looking for hope. We are the church, and we have the answers. So often we come to church because that's a part of our schedule. We make it a part of our weekend ritual. And it becomes something that we do. But I want to tell you this morning, if you are just doing church, you need to make some changes. How do you know you're just doing church? When you hear the word of God and don't make any changes, you don't repent. How do you know when you're just doing church? Because you're hanging out with that sin that you hanging out with that particular sin, and you feel like God understands you. Let me give you an example. I was talking to this person that I know, and they telling me that they are going with a married man. And I said to them, you know that's wrong, right? And they say, God and I got an understanding. God don't have no understanding. Let me tell you what his understanding is. God hates sin. He ain't got no understanding. Whatever it is that you feel like you're doing that is not as God is displeased with, he don't understand it. He's saying get rid of it. He's saying repent. Turn away from it. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just do church. Become the church. Ask God to bring transformation. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in and just bring transformation in my life. Convict me of the things that I need to be convicted of. Help me to live right. Help me to do right. Don't let me look at those television shows that got all that cursing in them and just think it's all right. Don't let me be turned on by porn. You know, on my computer, my handheld computer, I can flip to a channel nobody knows. When we do those things and we come to church, the devil is laughing at us because our testimony is so poor. He's laughing at us because of our testimony. If you're sleeping around, you need to stop. You need to stop. I ain't trying to be popular. I'm just trying to present the gospel. And the gospel says that be ye holy, for our Father is holy. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in your life and in those areas. Don't just live every day and never think about your destiny. Because the Bible says our names must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, Jesus knew Lazarus. He knew his name because his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus knew his name. That's why he sent the angels for him. He said, go get my son. Go get my son and bring him home. When our names are written down in heaven, when God calls us home, our family and our friends will be at a funeral, but we'll be at a feast. The rich man had a lot of stuff, but he didn't know Jesus. And guess what? Jesus didn't know him. God will hold us accountable for how we live. See, the rich man had heaven here on earth, but in eternity is where he was in. He spent eternity in hell. What about you today? What's important to you? His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there today? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it isn't, it can be. What will be your final destination? What will it be? We have a choice. We have a choice. Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to live for? Would you stand up with me? I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up because I'm ready to close this message. And Pastor Larry, you can come on up. I want to ask you a question this morning. Raise your hand if you know you are just passing through, that this earth is not your home. Raise your hand if you know this earth is not your home. Hallelujah. Amen. The things we have, the house, the car, the clothes, the land, all of that is just being borrowed for a short period of time. Some of us have lived in our houses 10, 15, 20, 50 years, but that's not eternity. And sometimes we mix up time with eternity. Most of us live a life as if time is going to last forever. But I want to tell you this morning that the only purpose of time is to get us ready for where we're going to spend eternity. Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, Have you made preparations for your soul? What's your destiny? What's your destiny? I don't know what decision you've made, but I know today you can make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that decision can determine your destiny of heaven. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you this morning. Touch our hearts. You know, sometimes we don't think about death because we don't want to. We're scared and we're afraid of it. But there's coming a day that we're going to have to give an account. That we're going to have to say, Lord, we're going to have to stand before you to be judged. And God, we want our life to be a life that you will be pleased with. That you'll say, welcome home. Come on home. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness toward us. We thank you for your mercy toward us. Jesus, lead us and guide us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen.